Well, good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. It is good to be in the house of the Lord and worship together this morning. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you for the time of singing we could do this morning. Pray that it helped us to gather our thoughts and in our minds and help us to focus our attentions and energies on you. Pray that this would not be just a once a week situation for us, but we would continually think of the wonderful things that you have done for us, for the forgiveness that you provide, the desire that you have for us to live with you eternally. Help us to make the decisions through this week to come based upon your word. Strengthen us with other brothers and sisters' encouragements or rebukes so that we may stand before you boldly at the end of time. We thank you for your love and lift this time up before you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Lord willing, here this morning, I'd like to continue in Acts chapter 5 for a title this morning. I guess it would be Proclaim Jesus, Be True and Faithful. The apostles continue to proclaim Jesus. And the encouragement that I received, like I would like to pass on to each of us, is to be true and faithful. So I'd like to start by thinking a little bit here about the first couple of chapters, chapters 1 and 2 here of Acts. They record the happenings of the day of Pentecost in the first couple of chapters and what led up to Pentecost. So if we remember that Jesus ascended up into heaven, we remember that he told them to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise. They went, and it's just not those that we call the 12 disciples or the 12 apostles, but there were many people that went and waited for this. That part I don't want to forget. So we're just not talking when the beginning of the church wasn't just 12 people, but there were others there. There are others that we don't know the names of. We don't know who they are. We don't know how they knew. We don't know anything about them, but they're there. So we can, in a sense, put ourselves in that spot because we know that there were other people here. None of us are called to be an apostle, but we can learn from them and we can share the same spirit, be called brothers and be encouraged. For 3 years, Jesus had a different relationship with those that were around him. The 3 years of his ministry, you know, his first number of years, he was a son to Mary and Joseph. He was a carpenter's son. He was the son of God, but not really. Probably Mary might have been really the only one who knew as of a person. I'm sure Joseph would have as well, but there wasn't a lot who knew. So after he came to those 3 years of ministry with the apostles, he had a little bit of a different relationship, I believe, with a few different groups of people. Now, I may be missing a group, but the different groups of people that I wrote down here was first, you know, his disciples who later became apostles and others that were with him. Because we got to remember that there was Matthias and forget the other man's name that were chosen to replace Judas, so who were with the other disciples and apostles, through everything. So we know that there were others involved here. So Jesus had a little bit different of a relationship with those with those that later became apostles and the disciples. He also had a little bit different relationship with those who were sick, whether they were sick physically or they were sick mentally, meaning also demon possession and so on. So those who were ill in one manner or another, his relationship that he had was different within those 3 years than he did before. He didn't heal anybody that I'm aware of in those previous years. It doesn't say anything about that. He didn't cast out any demons that is written above that I heard of in those first number of years. So that relationship was different. And the people around him, you know, just the general person, the person who would be a seeker, the person who would be somebody who would see what's going on and wonder, what in the world is this? They may not be physically ill. They may be a political person. They may be a military person. They may just be, you know, John Wheat Grinder, you know, who, you know, his relationship with him were different too, because they followed him around wherever he went. If we remember right, you know, I forget which sea he went across, but he went across to kind of get away from the crowds, and they ran around. And guess what? They were there when he came, and he had pity on them. He served them during those times. So that relationship was different as well. And he had a different relationship with the religious leaders of the time. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the religious leaders, during these 3 years, his relationship with those people was different. Now, there may be another group or two or three or four that I might have missed, but those are the ones that came to mind. So I'm thinking of these different types of groups as I am going through Acts chapter 5 there. But at this particular point, I want to continue here with thinking of chapter 3. So we have Jesus being called back to heaven. We have the Pentecost time. We have in chapter 3, Peter and John going into the temple at the time of prayer. And there was a lame man there that was healed. And the goings-on that happened during that time with the people, with the religious leaders, not really appreciating what had happened. In chapter 4, we read there about Peter and John being arrested after that time. They were questioned, they were threatened, they were let go. So they went before the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders, and were told not to continue to preach Jesus. In beginning of chapter 5, the end of chapter 4 also talks about Barnabas, Ananias, and Sapphira, and the events that happened around that time. So then we have here in verse 17, I guess I'm going to start with verse 16 of chapter 5. Verse 16 reads, "There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one." So that was the result of the difficulties that happened around Ananias and Sapphira. God got glorified. He can be glorified even in the worst of circumstances. Verse 17, I'd like to read verse 17 here. It says, "Then the high priest rose up, and all that they were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors, and brought them forth, and said, Go stand and speak in the temple of the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought out. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, The prison truly found, we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened and found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked, saying, Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. They filled Jerusalem with that doctrine. They proclaimed Jesus. And through the proclamation of Jesus, we need to be true and faithful. And back there on verse 17, the high priest got upset, and as it says there in verse 18, laid hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Thought it was a little interesting. They marked the prison or named the prison the common prison here. They didn't say that earlier. It seems as though the common prison is just as it sounds. It's the prison that is commonly used for all the people who get arrested. So they weren't given any special treatment here. They went in the prison with the thieves and murderers and whoever else was arrested there. And it also says here in verse 17 that they were of the sect of the Sadducees. And we saw that earlier. We saw that the Sadducees didn't particularly care that the apostles were proclaiming Jesus as being resurrected, the resurrection from the dead. And so here we have the same problem, just a different time. They didn't appreciate Jesus being proclaimed because, in part, of the resurrection that he was resurrected from the dead. And they were, it says, filled with indignation. They were kind of upset. Stepped on their toes, I guess. They didn't really appreciate what it was, and so they had the apostles. It doesn't say some, but it just says the apostles, so I'm assuming it's all of them. They have them arrested, but there in verse 19, it says the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them out. So they were let out of the prison. God came and let them out, gave them some instructions. The instructions that they gave is go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. So the instructions the apostles were given was to proclaim Jesus. Now, that's the very same thing that got them arrested. And here they are to do that very thing. I'm not sure about you, but I had to sit there and think for a little while. You know, I don't really know how I would handle it because I'm not in that situation. It's not happening. But it would likely, I would probably be a little reserved after being arrested a couple of times, after being threatened a few times, likely being handled roughly a few times. I really appreciate the boldness of the apostles here to go stand. I'm not sure why it says stand, but it does. It says stand. You know, a stand would be not to back down, to be bold. Speak in the temple to all the people, all the words of this life. So the apostles were arrested for doing that very same thing. They were told to go speak God's word to the people. And the high priest were now going to go and see, I should say, go to the prison, take them out of the prison, and bring them before them to basically try them again. Here in verse 21, it says, when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. So they did what they were told. They did their teaching. But the high priest came, and they that were with him called the council together, and all the Senate and the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought out. So this is actually a different group than we had earlier. I should say an expanded group. Before, we had what they would have considered the Sanhedrin, of my understanding, 72 men, the Israelite religious leaders. I'm not exactly sure, you know, the Sanhedrin and the Senate, but one place I read said that there were other judges at different gates, and they were also included. So it made it sound like these are all the religious leaders. This is the whole group of them that is going to make the apostles explain their actions to, you know, and, you know, it's like we're going to get all of the people of responsibility together to tell the apostles not to preach Jesus, is what it looks like is happening here in verse 21. But I wrote in my Bible here, didn't work out that way. Why did it not work out that way? Well, we already know the answer to that. The angel of the Lord came at the night, opened the prison doors, and brought them out. It's interesting that, as we'll read here, that the people in the prison didn't know they were gone. So we don't know, did God blind the prison guards? Did they bring them out a different door? Doesn't really matter. But they weren't there. So in verse 22 it says, but when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety. So there's not a hint of questioning that the guards let them go. It's somebody else's fault. Sometimes I really would like to know some of these details. Why didn't somebody get blamed? But there was no blame here. It just says they weren't there. The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. So I'm going to say they weren't surprised, because a lot of things happen during this time that are very unusual. Rhonda and I and Anna were at Mears yesterday for the afternoon, and sun went down and they were boiling sap. And there was this torch coming out of the pipe where they had their evaporator was. And I had to think, that looks like a tongue of fire. And you know what? It didn't surprise me, because that's where it belongs. I've seen woods burn. I've seen houses burn. I've seen cars burn. But I've never seen fire on top of somebody's head, as they found. So there were some really different things that happened during this time. So I don't believe they were terribly surprised, but they didn't know what was going to happen of this. Verse 25, then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, how'd you do that? No, he didn't ask them that. At least it doesn't say that here. He said, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? You have to give it to the high priest. He stayed on task. Not sure I could have done that. I would wanted to know what was going on, but he stayed on task. Did we not tell you not to do this? Behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. So the high priest is feeling a bit guilty because they feel as though that the disciples are saying, or the apostles are saying, that Jesus was crucified because of them. Well, if we look at 29, that's exactly what he said. Or is that, I guess that's a little bit later here. But that's exactly what he said, is they crucified the Messiah, is what they did. To be true and faithful. The encouragement I got from these passages is to be true and faithful. Here we have men who are proclaiming Jesus. I may not be an apostle. I may not meet an apostle. But yet the example given here and by others, I can learn and understand, see how things work, and be as they were, which is true and faithful. Verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. We sang a song about that a little bit. It was, at least that was part of the song. It's a reference to, let's see if I can remember which one it is now. I don't know that I wrote it down. I believe it's in Deuteronomy 21. Yeah, Deuteronomy 21, 23, that a person that is hanged on a tree is cursed. Thank you. That was a cursed of God. And here we have that reference to Jesus. So the apostles, one thing I get out of this is the apostles are doing a very good job of bringing the fathers, of bringing the old covenant, bringing the things that the people that are standing in front of them can understand and know, in proclaiming Jesus through that. They're using the scriptures that these men already know to show that it's through the blood of Jesus that we can be forgiven and live eternally with God. The God of our fathers, it says in verse 30, our fathers, meaning the apostles and the other people listening, raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. They proclaim Jesus. May we be true and faithful. Verse 32 continues, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. There's a difference between obeyers and non-obeyers. Obeyers, those who repent, those who follow Jesus, those who are born again, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so they are making the distinction between the religious Jews, the sect of the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the others, and the sect that was called a sect at this time of the Christians, who weren't called Christians yet, but the Christians. The Christians receive the Holy Ghost. They are the ones who are obeying him. Verse 31 continues, and when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. I guess that was offensive. So the religious leaders did not appreciate that. They realized they were speaking about them not being God obedient people. And so therefore, they were going to slay them. And this reminded me of something that I don't think I wrote down the verse, so I guess I'll keep going. Verse 34, then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves that ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For this is for if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak of the name of Jesus, and let them go. Has that ever happened to you? Not the beating part, but the idea that you were accused of something. Maybe you did it, but it was right. You were accused of something that somebody else was offended of, and then another person came and said, wait a second, you're not thinking right. It's happened to me a couple of times. One time was my family did not appreciate the decisions that Ron and I were making when we were young Christians. It was not the way, as my mother said, it was not the way I was brought up. So the person who was most upset was my grandfather, which I don't think I've ever... Yeah, I don't think you could ever talk him into anything. I mean, just the way he thought was the way he thought. So that's just the way it is. He changed as time went on. In the end of his life, he did change. But they didn't appreciate the decisions we were making. And my grandfather specifically was very upset with me. And my sister, who was she said she was an atheist, came to my, we'll say, defense, and told them that they were wrong, and it all went away, just like that. I mean, it literally was, it was that quick. It was, you know, turn the page, it's done. So I know that it can happen, but it doesn't always happen that way. A lot of my thoughts that are, some of them are coming out and some of them aren't, are inspired by a book that we listened to recently from Sundar Singh, a biography of him. I'm not sure if any of you know who he is, but if you don't, I do recommend his biography. This particular one we listened to this time is a YWAM book, so it's written relatively simply, and that's probably why I like it, because it's a little easier for me to think and listen to the story at the same time, because it's not very complicated. The writing is pretty simple. But in that story, in the beginning of Sundar Singh's Christian life, there were two other boys that became Christians. He was a Sikh in India, and as a Sikh, you weren't allowed to be a Christian, and it won't go well for you. One of the boys recanted and went back to being a Sikh from pressure from society. The other boy was poisoned by his brother. So here are three boys that became Christians in a non-Christian society where it wasn't allowed to be a Christian. One of them, I wouldn't say grew old, but grew older. One of them, which was Sundar Singh, which the biography was about, one of them recanted, but one of them paid with his life very quickly, within a few weeks anyway. I don't remember exactly, even if it says how long. So I don't want to give the impression that everything's going to work out just great. Because, well, maybe it does work out great. for the person who goes on to eternity who's a Christian. But those left behind may have some pain. So it doesn't always work that way, and we'll see that too. We see that example in Stephen. You know, he stood up for the Lord, he proclaimed, and he was stoned. And there was another one, James, the brother of John. He was killed for his faith. Well, so we'll, you know, with time, Lord willing, if we get there, then we'll see those examples as well. So it doesn't always work out this nice, but it can. And we need to proclaim Jesus and be true and faithful no matter how it comes out, whether it comes out with the end of this particular life onto eternity, or we continue in this life for a little while longer and continue to proclaim Jesus. The point that I would like to make out of this particular passage is God is amazing, that he can use one of the very people that want them to stop. One of the very people, one of the persecutors was used, Gamaliel, who Gamaliel was mentioned a couple of times. This is one of two times. If we remember the other time, Paul was taught by Gamaliel. The same person was a teacher of Paul as well. To continue here towards the end, the last couple of verses, verse 41 reads, "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." So whether we suffer shame for the name of Jesus, whether we're able to teach and preach openly, it doesn't matter. I mean, I guess it does matter, but we should continue either way. It says daily in the temple. They didn't hide. They continued to openly proclaim the Lord, even in the face of being beaten and being told not to do such things. It says there in verse 40, "And to him they agreed," that's Gamaliel, the council there agreed, "that they should not continue on, because if it was of man, then it's going to end. And to him they agreed, and when they called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go." And I trust that through God's grace, if we were ever put in that same position, we would do the same, and that is to continue to proclaim Jesus in every house and cease not to teach and preach Jesus. That is my encouragement for you, and that is what I have been encouraged as well. Thank you.